Gord Thibodeau joins us once again. Gord, how you doing, my man?
Doing well, Jace. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you liking the change to Lloydminster?
Love it. You know, this is actually where I started my full-time coaching career, was in Lloyd 16, 17 years ago. So, you know, we still spent 3.5 years here at that time and still have a lot of friends. And, you know, my wife and myself were excited to come back here. So it's a great community, and it's great to kind of reestablish those friendships again.
Well, Gord, before we get to the RBC Cup, I do want to touch on, you spent a lot of time in Fort McMurray as the coach and GM up there, had a lot of success, and I'm sure it's been kind of difficult for you to watch a lot of people you know go through, you know, just the devastation of the fire.
Yeah, it's really, you know, first off, unbelievable to see what's happened. You know, your heart is out to that community, and there's so many people that you meet. I was there for 11 years and fortunate to make some great acquaintances, some great friends. And, you know, first thing you think of is the safety. You know, can they get out? And constantly checking with people there, making sure that, you know, there was a bunch of friends of mine stranded on the highway, and you're just praying that at some point they're going to be able to get out of there. And now you look at the devastation and, you know, they need help. Obviously, Alberta and the rest of Canada is going to step up. And it's a great community. I love the community spirit in Fort McMurray, and they really have a can-do attitude. And I think, you know, when all is said and done, when they get an opportunity to go back, you know, they'll rebuild quickly. It's that type of community. They're very close-knit. They'll pull together, and, you know, they'll pull this off and then rebuild it.
Now, when you were up there, you coached a kid by the name of Colton Pareko, who was at that time 6'2". Then he went to Alaska and grew 4 more inches and became 6'6". And a few years later, he is now in the National Hockey League and one of the best defensemen in the game. What do you remember your first time you saw Pareko? Because he told me when he made your team, he started out as the number 7 defenseman that year.
Yeah, actually, we saw him in, I think he was 16, just turning 17 is when we first, you know, had a real good look at him. And to be honest with you, he looked like a wild horse that was running in the field. He had grown about 6 inches, I think, from about 5'7 to 6'2 or 6'3 that summer. He was awkward. He was gangly, but there was some great ability to handle pucks for that size. That was probably the first thing we noticed was, wow, this kid's 6'3 and he handles the puck like he's 5'8". He got a chance to come to our camp, and wouldn't you know it, the first exhibition game, he breaks his wrist or fractures his wrist. And I think at that time I called him in after the exhibition game, and he thought I was sending him home. And I said, you know, congratulations, you've made the team. And I think he was more surprised than anything else, but just a great kid, great family, a kid that did a lot of work on and off the ice. You know, he always showed signs that when the body filled out, the skating would get a little smoother, and just a kid that competed in every situation and got better every day. So, I mean, those are the memories I had, and I think it's obviously a great story what he's been able to do, but he's full credit for it. If anyone deserves, you know, what's happened to them, it's him. He deserves all the accolades.
You know, it's fantastic. It's a great story to see. Definitely a little bit of a late developer, and illustrates to a lot of kids that just because you're not playing AAA or anything. Now, very few kids, I think, grow as much as he did in that span of time. So that's obviously a little bit of an exception, but it is a great story. And your team this year, the Bobcats, had a very successful season. Obviously didn't go as deep as you would have liked in the playoffs. What have you done since being knocked out to ensure that your team is fresh and ready to go starting Saturday?
Well, the first thing we did was heal. You know, we had a very physical series against Spruce Grove, and a series that took a lot out of us and took a lot out of them. You know, they subsequently went to the final and didn't have a lot left against Brooks. So, you know, we took basically 7 or 8 days right off the top just to get away and heal up some injuries. And now we've, the last 3 weeks or so, we've kind of just been fine-tuning, making sure we're getting physically in shape, and that we go through our systems and that we're as prepared as we can be system wise. And we're very focused right now. So, you know, we're healthy for the first time all year. I like the way we've been moving and skating and practice. And, you know, I think that we're ready to go.
Have you had a chance to kind of handicap the other teams? Obviously the Brooks Bandits are very good. You face them, but what do you know about Carleton and Trenton and West Kelowna?
Well, we were able to watch West Kelowna at the WCC Championships in Estevan. Very good team, very well coached, outstanding goaltending. You know, they've really clamped down defensively, and the goaltenders just don't give up a lot. So they're definitely one of the favorites. Carlton Place is back for the third year. They've been in two straight finals. You know, those results alone speak to the fact that that's a very good hockey team also. Trenton's a team we actually followed a little bit through some film work early in the season, and they got off to a remarkable start in Ontario and really went through unfazed through the playoffs. Very talented team, very good skill up front. And again, much like the other teams here, very well coached and structured. So I think it's one of those tournaments that's going to be extremely competitive. And to be honest with you, I think any of the five teams could take it.
Gord Thibodeau, head coach and general manager of the Lloydminster Bobcats, joined us. Junior A National Championship in Lloydminster starts on Saturday, runs through until May 22nd. And, of course, now this is the first appearance for the Bobcats at the National Junior A Championship. And I know Lloydminster is a huge hockey town. The barn will be packed. How are ticket sales going? How's the entire event gone?
Actually, it's gone extremely well. I think tickets, I know certainly for our first game Saturday, I believe we're very close to sold out. The packages have gone very well through Hockey Canada. The support in town has been amazing. This is a big event kind of town. They've hosted a lot of Junior B championships and senior championships, and finally the Junior A's get to contribute to that rich history. And as tough as the economy is now, we're very, very pleased and proud of our sponsors and volunteers stepping up in our time of need and making sure that this is going to be successful. There's a great buzz around town. There's a huge kickoff party tonight with some guest speakers. I think Dennis Hall and Dave Semenko are here, and we're looking forward to getting this going. But I know, like I said, the event, the ticket sales have been great. And like I said, I think Saturday night's already sold out.
Well, yeah, it's all Dave Semenko, absolute beauty storyteller. So that should be a lot of fun. Now, Gord,
yeah,
for you,
you've
been around the league for such a long time now. We've seen it change. You've seen it expand to a lot of different locations across it. When you look at the health of Junior A, how do you perceive it now? And what is maybe the bigger challenge in the league now compared to when you first started?
Well, I think it's come a long way. I mean, it's certainly, the onus originally was to get Alberta players playing junior hockey, and that's really improved and increased a lot. And I think all of hockey's gotten better, not just the junior level, but midget levels too. But it gets tougher and tougher with the costs rising, year to year. It gets tougher and tougher to field teams, and that's a major concern going forward. How are these teams going to survive? There's a limited amount of revenue stream. You can't charge $50 a ticket for junior A hockey. So you just fear the days. I know other leagues have gone to pay for play, and I hope that that's something we can avoid in Alberta. I don't think kids should have to pay, $7,000 to play junior A hockey. That's always been one of the beauties, is that, the parents pay enough for minor hockey that when their kids get to junior, hopefully, they don't have to dig in their pockets at that time. So I think that's the next impending crisis for junior hockey, is how are we going to fund it? And even in our league, there are three or four teams that are doing pretty well, but there's a lot of teams that are hurting. And we saw that with Grand Prairie last year. Certainly Fort McMurray now, based on their situation, is going to be in for a tough year. So I think that's probably something we're going to have to tackle next, is how do we keep the cost down?
Do you have any ideas on how to keep costs down? What could help that?
Well, I mean, I think it's got to be twofold. I think number one, 60 games is a lot. I think we could shorten the schedule. These are kids from 16 to 20 years old. I don't know why they need to play NHL level games. I mean, we're looking at this right now. We've played 79 hockey games coming into the RBC. A team like West Kelowna is, I think, at about their 85th or 90th game of the season. That's a lot of hockey for young kids.
Yeah.
I think that we have to remember that we're supposed to be developing these kids, and it's been proven that development and practice is probably more valuable than playing the amount of games we do. So I think that's one way that we could lower some costs, is to limit, the amount of games and limited travel, frankly. It's very difficult for teams to make that long trek You know, whether it be Calgary teams going up to Grand Prairie or Fort McMurray, those things cost money. And, you know, if we can start to limit some of that, you know, hopefully we can make sure that this stays a competitive league, but that we also don't end up putting the burden of cost on the parents and the kids.
Well, Gord, you know, that's obviously a big concern and something that has to be looked at. But this weekend, best of luck. Do you like your draw? I guess you've been in these tournaments before. Does the draw ultimately matter?
It doesn't, only for one sense, Jason. I mean, you're playing each team once. You know, where you get them really isn't as important as how you react. I mean, it's a short-term situation. You can't be emotional about your wins and losses. You have to bury them very quickly. We play West Kelowna first. I don't think there's a preference on when you play a good team because there's no easy team. So you know you've got four tough games. Biggest thing is who's going to stay engaged and not let previous results kind of creep into their next game. That's a big part of these short tournaments. Short memory. We play Saturday, win or lose, you have to bury it, be ready to go for the next game. And that's something we've tried to focus with our group.
Gord, great catching up with you again. Best of luck. I know you've got a lot of texts from people, the Butlers in Fort Saskatchewan, many people you know, around the league saying hi and wishing you the best.
Thanks a lot, Jace. I appreciate it, and thank you for the support.